Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I am Magla Pillay and I'm here today in the studio with Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. The topic for today is the intelligence of stillness, and if you find the topic curious, so do I. It's not one that I've ever heard before. The point of this program is to look at what Sister Denise calls conventional morality. We look at why people think, speak, and function the way they do. We ask people to look at their own value system, their own conscience, their own sense of ethics and morals and values, and to ask yourself the very honest question, is what you have become working for you at this point in your life? And if this question makes you slightly uncomfortable, welcome to today's show. We hope that you continue watching, because Sister Denise is here to debunk certain myths that we have about ourselves, about reality, about our views, our own morals, and she's here to give us new insight into something that we thought we knew and simply took for granted. We also note that most people wish to do the right thing at any given point in time. However, they still find themselves in a position of acting against their own conscience. So, Sister Denise, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
A very warm welcome to today's show. The intelligence of stillness, that is an exceptionally curious topic. Could you define it for us?
There are some phrases that we have, well-known phrases. For example, be still and know that I am here. This is actually coming from the Bible. Then there's the idea of just this word shanti that we use a lot in the Brahma Kumaris. On the badge that I'm wearing, it says Om Shanti at the top, which means I am peaceful, I am still, I am silent, that is what I am. And I think that it is intelligent to go to what one actually is because of what you will hear in the stillness. When you become really quiet and still, you listen and you hear the voice of your conscience. People who do a lot to create a lot of noise, and the world we live in is really noisy, you never really hear. You can't hear yourself think. You can't really feel your feelings, because there's so much attention given to keep the TV running, keep the radio running, keep the any kind of audio sound there, just so that you are not faced with the silence. And that silence of the soul is really the most useful thing there is, but yet people kind of don't like it, want to avoid it, sometimes even can't bear it.
And what do you get from stillness that you don't get anywhere else? Actually, before we get to that question, what is the difference between silence and stillness?
This word shanti actually has three meanings. One is peace, one is stillness, and one is silence. So in a way, they're synonymous, but because they're different, you can spend time meditating on the difference, comparing them and trying to feel them. Being still, you're not wavering. You're steady like a flame where there's no wind. Being silent, there isn't even the sound of a thought. You're just in silence. And silence is very deep, and it takes you very deep. And then peace. Peace is a very beautiful feeling, a very gentle sense of self, which usually we're so far away from, but it is so real. And then if you combine the three, being at peace, being still, being silent, I think that helps you go really deep into what you really are.
Mm-hmm. My original question was, okay, maybe you should ask something else. How do you incorporate this practice into your life and still live in the real world, as it were?
Well, we're talking about an inner silence. I remember years ago when I was really quite a small child and I was looking for peace. And I thought that I was looking for external peace. So I traveled far and wide into the country and the ocean, and it's always some kind of noise. Even in the quietest place, you hear a tractor or an aeroplane. Eventually, I found myself in absolute physical silence somewhere deep in the Sahara Desert. And as soon as I had got what I wanted, I realized, no, that's not what I'm after. It's inner peace. So then you start to look very differently when you're looking for inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
So inner peace means that it can be as noisy as it wants outside, but you're still in your inner peace. And I think this is the usefulness of a spiritual practice in any environment, because it doesn't matter how noisy, how disturbed, whatever, you can still touch your inner peace and be held in that, detached, unaffected by whatever's going on outside. And this is really very, very beautiful power and an experience.
And what does this give you that you cannot get anywhere else? What does it give to you? What does it bring into your life? What is it? How does it enhance you? Because the reason I'm asking this question is because stillness isn't actually a commodity that the world is after. And, you know, stillness, people consider silence to be punishment. So people consider alone time to be punishment. And here you are telling us that you are looking for it. Is your definition of silence different from other people's? You're referring to silent mind?
Definitely silent mind, but even silence externally is very, very attractive because it's conducive to the harmony of the inner and outer peace that I think is very restorative for a human soul. You know, people like to go for walks in nature, and when you're in nature on a beautiful day, you start to be able to really hear the sounds of nature, which are really very quiet. The sounds of the city are very cacophonous. There is some sort of a harmony that the soul craves, which you can find well in inner and outer silence. When you practice inner silence, what's really good about it is you start to gain a lot of power. There is something called the power of silence, and sometimes it is actually set against the power of science, and science actually tends to be pretty noisy. The rockets and engines and cars and guns and whatever that it creates. I mean, of course, there are quiet things, but you know, as long as the electricity is plugged in, there's some sort of a hum. And when you take out all of that and you get, you know, really good physical silence, that also reminds you of the silence within. So the main thing that you get is power. And the power of silence allows you to be the initiating force in any circumstances that you find yourself in. That's a really good thing.
If a person who has not been meditating buys what you just said, because it sounds so beautiful, and they started their journey by simply being quiet, they are immediately faced with the noise of the mind. which is very loud and inside you. Now, you can't tell the voice of the mind, shut up, okay? You can't say, go away and come back later. You cannot, what have you done with the noise in your own mind to get to what you've just described?
The noise in your mind comes from a bad conscience, comes from remembering things of the past, worrying about things of the future. It's all to do with thoughts. So as you start to absorb spiritual knowledge into your intellect, into your mind, the noise of the mind begins to quieten.
Sorry, did you say that again, please?
As you start to fill your mind with spiritual knowledge and the implication of that, the noise of your mind starts to quieten because you practice. You practice to be a pure, peaceful, loveful, blissful, powerful soul. And in the beginning of this practice, just as any other practice, you find, oh my goodness, it's noisy in here. It's chaotic in here. So then you have work to do. You have to organize your mind and throw away the junk, because the inner world of a person who never paid attention to it resembles, you know, someone's house. If they never clean it or tidy it, it'll be totally chaotic. But once you start to see that this is going on the inside of me because I just have been neglecting my inner world, you have to start to set it up properly and get rid of extraneous things, unpleasant things, unpleasant memories, and you have to work through them until you come to terms with them, and then they just fade away. And so gradually you find that you have a very beautiful inner space, which then you start to fill with the fragrance of your spiritual contemplations and your connection with the source, which is the Supreme Being.
So is silence the result of all that inner work? Is that the prize?
It's definitely a result. You know, you mentioned earlier that silence, enforced silence, is a punishment because a person's conscience will really start to gnaw away at that person. Whatever you have done, which is negative, is sitting on your conscience, and then it starts to really distress you and disturb you. And so you have to work through that. This is why it's called a punishment. But, you know, if somebody's really bad person, you put them in silence, it's a punishment. If somebody's been really focusing their attention on their karma and they are yogi soul, give them silence. They love it.
I see. So, Denise, I want to talk about concentration, because many find that very difficult. Some find it practically impossible. So what you just described involves an element of concentration, in fact a great deal of concentration. Now, if one has difficulty in that department, can you get to silence, stillness?
You may have to work more, because definitely concentration is an extremely important element. Concentration means that you focus your mind somewhere, and lack of concentration is that your mind doesn't go where you want it to go. It goes somewhere else. So that means that the mind of an unconcentrated person is very random. And the mind, but the intellect, is like a muscle. And a muscle of the intellect says to the mind, repose yourself on the being of God. And the mind says, I don't know what you're talking about, or don't tell me what to do, I have my own plans, you know. So it's undisciplined. Sometimes it's compared to a two-year-old child, will not sit still for a second. So you have to gently and patiently get your mind to go where you want. And the mind is also like a sense perception. So once you get the mind to repose on the being of God, and the mind starts to taste the qualities of God, then the mind becomes very interested, very content, very satisfied, and very keen to continue to draw on that source. And so slowly, slowly, the mind starts to obey, and not by force, but by persuasion. And discipline doesn't mean force. Discipline means that you really, you know, you say, this is where we're going to go. You get the mind to go there, but if you start having to force it, then you're going to do damage, because the mind is very fragile. And so you have to also keep the mind moving so it doesn't become rigid, because in rigidity there's no silence, there's just stress. So this is why in meditation you have to keep a flow of pure thoughts around the subject that you want to concentrate on. So the mind is moving always, but always in that general direction, not just all over the place. So you have to get it to go where you want it to go, and use a kind of a circling method to do that. Because when you circle around a point, it gradually narrows down till you're ready to repose on that point and stay there for some time.
Like a spinning top.
Yes. And a spinning top, of course, will stay vertical because of the power of the gyroscope.
Okay. You've obviously achieved a certain level of stillness and silence.
Some.
What do you do with it?
Well, when you're still, you take power.
From?
From the Supreme Being. And when you can be still enough, you have to be really still, because it's a tiny point focusing on a tiny point, and then this huge pulsations of light and energy start to come into you, which is, you know, really the goal of your meditation. This is where you fill yourself with the power, and you slowly, slowly accumulate that over time.
How do you share your silence with others? Do you share it with others?
I think whatever a person is feeling, especially when they're feeling it very powerfully and it's very stable, it goes into the atmosphere also like a pulsation. So it kind of waves, or like waves going out, and it influences the atmosphere, maybe fills the atmosphere, and then people can pick up on that. You can also direct that silence to someone so that they can feel it and experience the benefit of this.
There are many who are walking around with unhealed wounds within the soul. Has, in your experience of your meditation, has silence healed wounds, and not necessarily speaking about your own, and can it heal that which is broken? Can it heal open wounds?
I believe so. I think that the soul resembles a very beautiful work of art, maybe very fragile, like a kind of statue made of glass, you can say. And that damage cracks it, shatters it, whatever, whatever. And so people are living in shattered state. Now, when you bring to bear that atmosphere of silence, it kind of brings the pieces back together again.
What is a resonance?
It's a resonance, a harmonic resonance. It just, suppose you say, okay, your body is made of lots and lots and lots of cells, and all of these cells are in a vibration of dissonance, which is what makes you ill. and you bring in that energy of meditation, that energy of silence, it'll alter the frequency of the cells from dissonance to harmony, and then the whole thing vibrates in a very beautiful way. It becomes integrated instead of fragmented and dissonant, and it starts to be a healthy organism rather than an unhealthy one.
So you just said that the silence in the mind affects matter?
Yes.
Tell us more about that. In what you do it consciously, don't you?
Yes.
Tell us how you do that.
I'll give you an analogy. There were some experiments done by a Japanese scientist who took photographs of frozen crystals of water when that water was subjected to positive thought, negative thought, words, etc. And the photograph showed that the water, which is one of the five elements of matter, when there was pure thoughts, pure feelings directed at that water, the crystals and the hexagonal crystals of the water were very beautiful, very symmetrical, and looked very attractive. And then when you subject water to harshness, unkind words, pollution, then it took on the face of a miserable person almost, and very distorted looking crystals. So this is an indicator on the physical level of how thought actually affects matter. And I think a very good indicator. Mm. But you can also feel it, you know, chemically. If you're feeling very sad and tears emerge from your eyes, those are salty tears. But tears of joy, they're sweet. What's the difference? What caused salty tears or sweet tears? It's the feelings and the thoughts which cause a chemical reaction. Mm. So the soul and the body are intimately linked, and whatever is going on in the soul is expressed on the face. Definitely you can feel it in the atmosphere. If somebody's sad, uncomfortable, if a relationship is going wrong, it'll be in the air. You can feel it, and you can ask somebody, do you feel okay? Yes. Are you sure? Perfectly, you know. So sometimes people will not want to acknowledge it, but you can still feel it. Mm. But it's so subtle that people say, no, you're mistaken, it's imaginary. But when you're very sensitive, you say, no, I'm not imagining anything. I can feel it as clear as if it were, you know, physical. Mm.
So, Denise, how does your silence affect Mother Earth? Because what you are saying has very far-reaching consequences than just your own matter that surrounds you, the soul. How does it affect the butterfly effect?
I know what you mean. Well, I think the earth at the moment is stressed and very uncomfortable in itself and out of alignment. So if you start to do very deep silent meditation, I mean, on one hand, the earth will feel relief, but on another hand, the earth may react and reset itself quite violently. So you can get both of these effects.
Hmm. I see. One last thing. The ego can't possibly like this practice, can it? Because my experience of the ego is that it stands for the opposite of everything you just said. What do you do? How do you manage your ego? Do you kill it? Do you suspend it? Do you lend it up to someone else?
to you, burn it, because it's the motivation behind the resistance.
Yes, definitely.
What do you do with your ego? Because they're, to me, they're polar opposites.
When you go into very deep spiritual practice, very deep silence, very pure silence, it can expose the ego. And the ego can survive as long as it's invisible to you. Because the ego is also called the false ego.
The ego can survive as long as it's invisible to you. Okay?
It's very difficult to see your own ego. Other people can see it better. When they challenge it, you will deny it vehemently, usually. But with this really deep stillness and silence, and harmonizing of your vibrations, this will cause the ego to show itself to you, and then you can take it out.
How? Is that a talk for another day? Okay, you don't have to answer that question. That is a talk for another day.
Okay,
is there anything that you'd like to share in conclusion?
Well, going back to the ego, I think that you do have to strike it, you see, because it's a mask. And what you want is for it to spontaneously shatter. Because the difficulty is a person gets fused with their ego mask or confused. And this atmosphere and vibration of meditation actually separates you from the ego, so that you can then let it fall and shatter, and then that particular aspect of it is no longer there. So removing your false ego and being in your true self-regard or self-honor is the whole process of spiritual practice.
Yes, unfortunately, that is the end of today's show. I hope that those of you at home have been listening and watching attentively to today's show, because what I hoped would have happened is that you would have experienced what I experienced today. What Sister Denise shared was not just words, it was an actual experience. And to me, that is the proof of authenticity. When somebody who doesn't practice silence says the word silence, it's empty. But when it comes from the lips of a yogi who has immersed herself in silence for 40 years, stillness is not just a word, it's an experience. And I truly, truly hope that you have experienced what I have firsthand for the last half hour. I hope that you are able to take it inside your heart and let it infuse your spirit. And I hope that it can obliterate whatever demons there are that's bothering you. And I also hope that you take the message that if you are attracted to the stillness that's emanating from Sister Denise, then it means that it's something that your spirit also seeks, and it's also an invitation to spend more time with God, because He also embodies stillness and silence. I hope that you took as much benefit from today's episode as I did, and wherever you are, I wish you love on your own spiritual journey, and thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.